Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, show 300. I have a perfect show for you today after what we've all been through in the last 3 weeks. Not that it's a bad thing, the floods, in a sense. But I've got a show to cheer you up. Organ regeneration and repair, a model that works. It's my favorite kind of show. What fascinates me most about what I do is the possibility that a tissue, a cell that's been damaged to the brink of irreversibility, which means for you, it means that day when you're told you've got an illness that's not reversible. My favorite thing to do is go into this literature, the science, and then go into the think tank. In other words, to apply concepts in actually clinical medicine with people who are willing to get healthy to see whether or not you can actually bring cells back into full function from what sometimes people think is an irreversible state. Can you really regenerate? Now, you've got to remember, the buzzword in science today are stem cells. We gave the 2012 Nobel Prize to two gentlemen, Sir John Gurdon and Yamanaka from Japan. We gave them the 2012 Nobel Prize for Medicine because they figured out how to take regular tissues, cells from the skin, and actually turn them into pluripotent stem cells so that you could use stem cells to regenerate tissue, but that your source was no longer the fetus, which had ethical issues attached to it. And it was a much, much easier than harvest because you could use human skin to create your stem cells. This is so important that they gave these guys the 2012 Nobel Prize. Now, this hasn't really translated into functional therapy yet. But I cite this as an example of how important it is in our culture today, in the fringes of science, to deal with this issue of can you regenerate a diseased organ? And of course, for so many of you listening today, this is so important for you, whether you're at that age where your organs are starting to break down, whether you're symptomatic or symptomatic and you can barely get by, meaning your lungs or your kidneys or your heart, your intestines, your endocrine system, your pancreas, your stomach, the tissues inside your digestive tube, whether you're being told that these tissues have broken down to a dangerous state and you're beginning the early phases of a disease, or you're in the moderate phases of a disease, or you just want to stay very healthy, how your body regenerates tissue is of high importance, but relying on natural inherent mechanisms. So Western science challenges this notion that we have these mechanisms, that you and I and others have intact, latent, dormant mechanisms to accomplish the same things that the fringe of science is attempting to accomplish today. And of course, this is the purpose of this show, to bring to you the science of you, what's already functioning, to regenerate tissue, to get you on the other side of disease. And if there were a way that we could just feed those natural mechanisms, intensify them, facilitate them, bring them to higher and higher levels of occurrence in your body, well, then maybe we could bring health, holistic health, natural health, to the point where you can reverse real disease. So let's take a look. Let's go to the website, if you can, straighttalk.cc. That's not .com. That's .cc, straighttalk.cc. If you can follow this show with the pictures, it's so much easier for you to do. If not, just listen as you're driving or as you're multitasking. But as soon as you can, I always tell you this, get to the website so you can see the pictures. That's straighttalk.cc. And again, the intention of today's show is to give you a whole model. I'm going to give you the pieces of a model. And if you attach to it, if you can understand it, if you can take the time to really, really bring it into yourself, you can see that there's a complete cycle to regeneration in the body. And it's a cycle that's rooted in science, in hard science. And that no one has the right to take that away from you. So many of us are told we've got progressive degenerative illnesses that we can't do anything about. And while I think a lot of people argue against that in a false way, giving you shortcuts and cliff note versions of how to get healthy, I think that if you really study it, there are intact mechanisms within yourself. And if you initiate them, and I'm going to lay out the parameters today, if you initiate them, well, then perhaps you can reverse what you're told is irreversible. But that's our intention. I put three articles at the top of the site. Click to view the full articles on cardiac stem cells. I have articles on stem cell research and therapy, and I have articles on reversing fibrosis. So I'm not going to go through in too much detail these articles because of a time limitation, but go into these articles yourself and understand that what these articles are referring to are not scientific interventions, meaning they're not about what scientists do when they're messing with lab animals. They're a review of what human beings do in the natural course of healing to regenerate their own tissues. And that has a lot to do with stem cells, the healing of scar tissue, and how our bodies have all these intact mechanisms to make all of this happen. So take a look at those articles. I'm going to get into them today just a little bit, though. If you take picture number one, that's just a human cell. I put that on there because that's you when you're healthy. A human cell is a factory. The factory's got a front, a back, a middle, an inside. It's got the central computer running the entire cell. And you don't have to get into the physiology of the cell too much. Just understand it's a factory and it's operating optimally. It's putting out much, even when you're putting little into it. Now that cell, for a variety of reasons along the way, will become damaged. And we can call that damage from many, many different types of damage. And that's, again, not important. But just understand, you have a normal, healthy cell that becomes damaged. We could say free radical damaged. We could say everything you know out in the atmosphere in the day-to-day of your life that's bad dries out the cell, cracks the membrane, destroys the DNA, makes the mitochondria and the other organelles less functional. And all you basically have, I think, as an analogy, is a shriveled piece of fruit. So in a sense, understand a healthy cell as a piece of fruit ripened on the tree, and understand a diseased cell, or the beginning of disease, as that piece of fruit as it drops and begins to degrade into the ground. Now, in that process, we begin disease. If we were going to attach words to that, we would say that the cell gets itself to a point where it's going to do a number of things in response to the fact that it knows it's becoming diseased. It will either go apoptotic, and that's a word that simply means that the cell starts to realize it's falling apart from the inside out, and it commits suicide. Cell suicide as apoptosis. You have a nice example of that on picture number six. Cell death mechanisms, death by suicide. It's known as apoptosis. It's just one way, as the grape or the piece of fruit shrivels, that the cell responds to these decaying processes and goes into a mass suicide. So when you find out you have a disease, sometimes that disease is being driven off unlimited apoptosis, just massive cellular suicide triggered by the things, again, that we call agents of disease. There's a second way the cell will die. There's a second way the organ will degrade, and that's called necrosis. So we have cell death by necrosis, where basically the membranes are rotting out and the insides of the cell are just turning to mush. One great comparison that I put there was on picture number six. That grape may commit suicide. So a bundle of grapes on a vine fall to the earth and begin to shrivel. The inner matrix of the cell understands that, and it triggers a response by the cell. The cell is not, the grape is not where it's supposed to be. It's not hanging from the tree in that fully ripened state. It's now rotting on the floor beneath it. Now, a living organismic system knows what's happening, and it will either initiate mass suicide, or you will start to see those cells basically rot. They inflame. The inside of the cell swells up. The membrane loses its integrity. Calcium floods the cell. And there are all sorts of things you can see under an electron microscope as this piece of fruit, as the cell begins to rot, distinct from apoptosis. So we're laying down different ways the cell under stress will signal its own decay. And of course, that's what your pathologist does. Your pathologist, to your symptoms, is going to look under a microscope and describe. Any of you that have had a pathology report done, you go to the doctor, they take a biopsy of whatever it is, your liver, your kidney, the inside of your esophagus, the inside of your intestines. And based on what they see, they write a pathology report. That pathology report is determining, do we have apoptosis? Do we have necrosis? Do we have senescence? Do we have malignancy? It's not complicated. It's a piece of fruit rotting, and pathologists are paid to describe the nature of the rot. And based on how the tissue rots, you are given a diagnosis. And that diagnosis very often is one that suggests a progressive degeneration. Meaning that once we look at that cell, blown up under an electron microscope, is in fact that cell past the point of healing? Has it been so destroyed? And this is the key. This is the exciting thing. This is, in a sense, where you really find the essence of healing. And it begs the question, at that point where a cell or a tissue has undergone massive apoptosis, massive necrosis, if the cells have become dysplastic, that's just another word to describe a cell that's headed towards cancer. It's not cancerous yet, but it looks cancerous. So effectively, is that piece of fruit, once plush and fertile, that hit the floor, that's beginning to rot away, is it showing signs of apoptosis, senescence, necrosis, dysplasia, or malignancy, which is anaplasia? Now, that's what I wanted to lay down in the first few minutes of today's show. We have a normal cell. We have a cell succumbing to attack. We have that cell starting to show signs of that attack. Then you have a symptom. Then you get a pathology report. And that pathology report basically tells you just how bad it is. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to be told that you have a progressive degenerative condition that's not reversible. So whether you're on your way to some irreversible lung disease, emphysema, bronchiectasis, the asthmas, whether you're in different forms of glomerulosclerosis in the kidney, different forms of kidney disease headed towards renal failure, fibrosis of the liver headed towards cirrhosis of the liver, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's diseases, the beginning of Parkinson's, the beginning of Alzheimer's, the beginning of senile dementia, the beginning of congestive heart failure. If you take the organ, there's always an early stage of a disease attached to the organ. And that stage is given to you off that path report. Now, the big question. When they tell you that that disease, based upon the path report, is progressive and degenerative and irreversible, is there a shade of gray there? Is that an accurate statement? Are there mechanisms intact, already working for you, that are working 24/7 to reverse that decay? And might there be a way to accelerate those mechanisms, embellish them, facilitate them? Might there be a way of taking the magnifying glass and looking to see what nature's doing already and engaging in some series of exercises to enhance the things that are already going on? And this is what you never hear. What you hear is that if you don't buy your diagnosis, if you don't buy that your organ's going to be bye-bye over 5 to 10 years, that you're going to need a transplant, a joint replacement. What you're usually being told is that if you don't buy, that you're on your way out, and that you go alternative, and that you start looking for solutions, that those solutions are filled with all sorts of non-scientific, poorly founded, poorly outcomed, poorly studied, just more or less pipe dreams, just false optimism, and that those are your alternatives. Your alternatives are drugs, surgeries, or the false optimism of holistic medicine. That's why I do this show. Because if you go into the science, you'll find all sorts of interesting things that just get overlooked. Did you know your own body, with the beginning of diseased tissue, pulled stem cells from the bone marrow, and it sends the stem cells into the site of injury to repair? Did you know that your own body reverses scar tissue to remodel those injured areas, and in conjunction with the stem cells being pumped out of the bone marrow, will begin to regrow a tissue by itself, without any prompting? When you hear in a normal person that an organ may grow itself, regrow every cell of itself every year or 2 years or 7 years, depending on the cell. I mean, I've put articles on the show before that say that every 4 years we regenerate every cell of the heart, and that we never understood this, but now we know this to be fact. And of course, if this is the case, then, well, when you have a heart attack, when you're in renal failure, when you're in cirrhosis, when you're in the early to middle stages of emphysema, what happened to those repair mechanisms? Well, here's where you separate the rubber from the road. It's so important to get this. These mechanisms that are cited, that are intact in you and repairing damaged tissue, these mechanisms have to be intensified. They have to be embellished. They have to be facilitated. They have to be exaggerated. They have to be multiplied. And without that, they don't work well enough. Well, that's the mystery of life, in a sense. It's one of the mysteries. The body can heal itself, but so often, the healing mechanisms are not sufficient to regenerate the tissue. So what I want to pose here to you today is to consider that potentially there's a way to intensify those mechanisms, that what you call natural health is a history going back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It's a history of people who have continually sought to find these mechanisms, to tie them into practices, health practices, to bring these intact systems to a higher threshold. Take a look at picture number 13. Here's a guy I talked about a few weeks ago. His name is Victor Schauberger. my recommendation to you, if you want to get a deeper understanding of what I'm talking about today, is go on to Amazon and look at the books written by Victor Schauberger. Here's one called Nature is Teacher. Here's another one, page 15, called The Fertile Earth. Then there's picture 14, The Water Wizard. Schauberger was a forester. He was a custodian of the forest, meaning back in the early 1900s, his job was to make sure that the massive tracts of land in Europe, the fertile forests, stayed fertile. And he spent his entire life studying nature and how nature regenerates and maintains and keeps itself vibrant. And he went off to the human body, too. He took what he saw in the forest and applied it to the human body. And he did so many different things. Schauberger was a Renaissance man, and he was notorious in so many different areas. But we're going to stick to the earth. Case in point, Schauberger was quick to point out that when you prune your roses, and we all know we prune our roses each winter, we cut them down. In other words, we perform surgeries or debridements. We do something extremely irritating to the plant. We cut it right down low. And why do we do this? Well, we all know that we do this because if we prune the plant, we grow a better plant. Now, Schauberger would look at that, and he would apply it to healing the human body. He would say, well, the human body, to regenerate its tissue, has to be pruned. Pissinger, in the book that I put out called The Extracellular Matrix, and that's on the pictures here today, Pissinger's book, that's picture number 4, claimed that if you could get in there and scour up, clean up, scrub up, take a scrub brush, or prune the space in between the cells, something magical would happen to your health. Schauberger's saying the same thing. He's saying if you prune the rose, if you cut the stems down low, it's going to prompt a regeneration of the tissue. And everyone that has plants knows that. Schauberger had forests that he was in charge of, that it was his responsibility to supervise, and he knew that. And that book, The Extracellular Matrix and Ground Regulation, Basis for a Holistic Biological Medicine, is saying the same thing. So step one, if you're going to regenerate an organ or a tissue, is you have to irritate and scour the extracellular matrix. The space in between the cells of the diseased organs has to be intensely cleansed. Now, in the practical aspect of that, that's going to mean an upheaval. And any of you that have known detoxifications, and on my shows over the years, I've listed so many, and there are so many more, whether you're doing liver cleanses or colon cleanses or kidney cleanses or cardiovascular cleanses or fibrin cleanses, whether you're using zeolite minerals, whether you're using proteolytic enzymes, all of these cleanses collectively, and here's the point, are the equivalent of pruning the tree. And you have to understand that in the context of how you can feel during these cleanses. To go in there and debride or scrape away all those dead cells is to irritate the body. And in that irritation, you can have some, well, at times, unpleasant results. Initially unpleasant or uncomfortable. And so we say in the art of detoxification, we just want to push it to your limit, but not too far. Too far means you'll get sick. Not enough means you don't really prune the roses well enough. So, a normal cell begins to succumb to free radical attack. It begins to show signs under path reports of apoptosis, senescence, dysplasia, even anaplasia or malignancy. Step one to regenerate new tissue. Step one to turn back a process that might be deemed irreversible. But in fact, under consistent, repetitive fertilization of the tissue may well be reversible, entails scouring or pruning the leaves, pruning the stems. And so what you're looking at, what you're facing then, is detoxifications. Consistent, relentless, but well-supervised detoxification processes to start to clean those spaces. Once done, you're making room for something that's already occurring. Once done, once detoxed sufficiently, you've made more room in between the cells or in the wounded area. You've made more room for the stem cells to go in and plant themselves in a matrix, in a space where then they can regenerate into those tissues that were once damaged. Now, this already occurs. Stem cells already do that. So if you've had a heart attack, if you're in renal failure, if you've got lung disease, if you've got tissue in the intestines that's been ravaged by inflammation and ulceration, if you've been told you're headed towards cancer because you're severely dysplastic, you already have deployment from the marrow of stem cells into these tissues to regenerate. We know that. That's in the literature. That's what those three articles on the top are about. But the key is, if you don't debride those areas, if you don't detox those spaces in between the cells, there's no place for those stem cells to plant. You have to create an inviting intercellular space. You have to regenerate the ground substance for those stem cells to find a place to plant themselves. And you see, everything in the body talks to everything else. So if those stem cells want to get into that damaged tissue, that tissue you're being told is irreversible, that tissue you're being told is on its way to a replacement or a transplant or just failure, if you want to regenerate that tissue with stem cells, you have to make a home for those stem cells, thus the detoxifications. The next point, the next critical point, could there be a way to enhance the rate at which the stem cells leave the bone marrow? Now, one thing you have to understand, your body is talking to each and every part. It's communicating through the nervous system. It knows what it needs to do. It knows what it wants to do. It knows where it's being limited. It knows whether you're inviting it or it knows whether you're not listening to it. And it will respond as such. The point is there a way to get into the bone marrow, just as those Nobel laureates did? Is there a way to get into the bone marrow and persuade the bone marrow to send out more stem cells? Can you enhance the rate of stem cell production in the bone marrow to meet the demand of the wounded diseased tissue? It's as if you're told, I'm losing my kidneys, I'm losing my liver, I'm losing my pancreas, I'm losing my heart, I'm losing my eye, I'm losing my ear, I'm losing my joints. Would there be a way to knock on the bone marrow and have it pump out 1,000 times more stem cells per unit time frame and send them directly to that diseased tissue? Well, you see, the answer to that is yes. But it's not about a supplement. It's not simply about a prayer. It's not simply about a gimmick, a cliff note. It is about a practice that you apply yourself to that's consistent over time and that can bring your health to a point, even with diseased organs, where the bone marrow begins to stimulate. And that's called healing, meaning the applied practice of health to a body over time in all the different indices of health will begin to soften the bone to stimulate the production of more stem cells in the marrow. So if you take someone whose organ is on the verge of failure and you clean the organs and soften them, and you stretch the tendons and soften them, and you realign the bone to make the biomechanics of life more effortless, and you take these processes to the point where the tissues become soft, at a certain point, the bones will begin to bend. When you can take health to the point at which the bones begin to soften, just like the tissues begin to soften, if you can take your body through a process where it begins rigid and dried and inflexible, if you're willing to bring it to the point where the tissues, the soft tissues, soften, where all the portals of exit, the biliary system, the lymphatic system, the kidneys, where those exit systems begin to become more efficient, you'll reach a point at which the bone starts to soften. If you begin to apply health to yourself from the outside to the inside, at a certain point, the inside will hit critical mass. Now, who does this? If you trace, this is the irony. This has always been the irony for me to realize this and to understand that what we call supplement-driven nutrition, what we call the typical American application of how you get healthy, whether it's a yoga class or a massage or some cleanse you're doing, it's ironic to me that the belief system is that you can regenerate. But it's so ironic that really, if you study these systems, in other words, if you study cultures that have applied health in serious traditions that still exist as coherent medical forms today, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, if you study ancient Middle Eastern medicine, if you study ancient European medicine, what you're going to find is that all these cultures considered the softening of the bone as a critical mass point in a healing. The softening of bone. Now, I well realize that the vast majority of you listening today don't really know what that means and don't have experience with that. But that's why I do the show. I am not here to repeat what you can find on YouTube or what you already know from listening to different radio shows. I'm here to bring you to thresholds of awareness that really are the place you can get serious return on your health investment. And the softening of the bone is one very, very key place. Okay, why don't you turn to picture 11? Picture 11 is a book written by a guy named Mantak Chia. It's called Bone Marrow Qigong, Taoist Ways to Improve Your Health by Rejuvenating Your Bone Marrow. The Taoists were a group from China. They were thrown out of China when the communists took over. And they really do constitute, as Unschuld the German scholar in Chinese medicine, has written, they really do constitute the essence of Chinese medicine. Chinese medicine was birthed out of the Taoist principles of health. The Taoists exist today. The Shaolin monks today, although they're not Taoist, the Shaolin monks retain many of those practices. And so to make this easier for you, on picture 23, what I gave you was, and you've seen this picture before, this is a Shaolin monk, and in his hand, he has some form of metallic bristles. Well, what those monks do is they hit their bones with those bristles. Because when the body's healthy enough, and the connective tissues are soft enough, you can hit a climatic frequency in the bone with those metal bristles. You can, in fact, talk to your bones. Bone marrow qigong. One practice of which, as exemplified here, as demonstrated here, is hitting the body with steel bristles. But who? You? Or someone else? No, you have to train to these things. But the purpose that these health traditions do this is to begin to initiate, to accomplish exactly what I'm referring to. An enhancement of stem cell production and stem cell deployment to tissues in need of it, which is something that's always going on anyway. Here's another example. Go to picture 12. Muscle tendon changing and marrow brain washing. Qigong, the secret of youth. There it is. So you can go to GNC and buy an anti-aging supplement. Then you can go to Whole Foods. Then you can listen to radio shows. Then you can read books. Then you can get really involved in health. And all these things are good. But remember on this day when I say to you, if in fact you have an issue, a condition with an organ system, and that organ is beginning the long downhill slope of disease, you must take your health to the place this book is suggesting. And again, this book here, this book is another book written by another gentleman fabled over the last 50 years to have mastery in his art, that art of Qigong, that's talking about stretching the tendons to soften the bone. And of course, he's calling it the secret of youth. Why do you think that is? If you can just get that from the show today, you got everything. If you want more, come back and listen to the show again and again. And look at the pictures again and again. Today is show 300. 300 hours. You can learn so much on 300 hours of these shows. But you have to learn. And if you're in the trenches with your health, I estimate that some of you are willing to learn. That's been my experience. One thing you must learn is that the direction you're taking, all your investment in your health, is to the softening of the bone. Because that's where the stem cells will increase the rate at which they leave the bone marrow and travel to your damaged organ. I rest my case in the sense of, from the science that is in operation today, cite my articles up top, to the practices of ancient times, that is Qigong. Yoga is another one. Ancient dance is a third. Prayer, literal prayer, words with the intention of communicating with God is another one. There have been many time-tested rituals that, if they're authentic, will actually galvanize the marrow of the bone to a more efficient deployment of stem cells. And of course, what we do today, you can see in picture number 9. Small cells, big promise. This is picture number 9. It's just a little diagram summarizing what we're up to in science today. Doctors are going to remove the diseased liver from the body, and they're going to try to inject the patient's own stem cells into the liver. Of course, those stem cells are cloned. They're talking about taking your stem cells, cloning them, and injecting them into the diseased liver. The liver is then put back into the body. It regenerates damaged parts to function as a normal liver. The transplant surgeon, you know, we just take your liver out and transplant it back in, and we say that like it's just a hop and a skip and a jump. Do you realize you're having your bowels twisted inside out? And this is what we do. Oh, we'll just go in there and crack open your rib cage, suck out your heart, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and throw it up in the air, spin it around, chuck it back in, and voila, a modern scientific miracle. You can be the living dead now for another 5 to 10 years. This is how we sell it. And when you go online and you look at what we're going to do with stem cell therapy, what it functions at the exclusion of what we might otherwise do. And that's what Schauberger was saying. That's what Tesla was saying. That's what many people have said. That's what Sheldrake is saying. What many people are saying and have always said is, well, okay, fine, do it that way. But there's something else you should look at. What the body's already doing and how you just might enhance that function. Could you possibly enhance the function of mechanisms already intact to regenerate with far less collateral damage than what that little stem cell diagram just suggested? And this is where you have to put your energy. Because I'm telling you right now, if you are in early stages of disease anywhere, even in standard pathology, those stages are reversible. But in practice, you're being told they're not. In practice, you're being told they're not reversible. And you see, the reason is nobody does anything about it. So doctors give you prognosis based on their experience as clinicians. And their experience over 10 or 20 or 30 years comes from telling people who are doing nothing that there's nothing to do. And when those people do nothing and come back over 10 years for finally an organ transplant, those doctors write it down in over 40 years of watching people do nothing, get nowhere, and just end up with transplants. They're being told, you're being told by those doctors, there's nothing you can do. And then you just jump into the herd and you become another statistic. Think about the scam there. And it's not that anybody's a bad person. What's a doctor going to do? Tell you you have options he's never seen work? But what we have to realize is if people do nothing and doctors base their consensus on people who are doing nothing, well, then maybe that can be slanted too. That's why these guys are here writing these books. That's why when you pick up these books, picture 12, muscle tendon changing and marrow brainwashing, Qigong, the secret of youth. Either this book is a fantasy and there's no hookup into the science of the body, or we've made a terrible mistake in overlooking the true mechanisms of health. It's one or the other. That book is either a fantasy or something to reach deeply into. And you have to remember how susceptible you are. Because the minute you get a symptom, you end up online at a hospital. You end up with a path report, a biopsy, and the whole brunt of our institution leaning on you, telling you, well, you're 70, you're going downhill anyway, But you've got time. Don't worry. You may live a half-life for the next decade or two, but we can slow it down and potentially, if worse comes to worse, replace it. And then science comes in furthermore and talks about the miracle cures of stem cells. When all in all, we already have books in the literature, practices that are suggesting options for you. I think a lot of you listen to holistic medicine because you believe there are options. My point to you is there are critical mass points. There are places you have to bring the practice to. There are supervisions that are necessary for many of you. And until you can bring your health practice to these levels of excellence, your body won't repair at the level that you demand. And this is the nuance that's so important. It's one thing to just pop a supplement and hope that it'll help an organ. It's another thing to go into a full-fledged, continuous, relentless assault on disease. Those are two very distinct processes. Let's continue. What has nature given us to support these processes? Well, what processes? The processes I just described that I want to just take a moment to go through in the articles at the top. Would you do this right now? If you're on the website, if you're listening, just please continue to listen. But go up to the article at the top of the website on cardiac stem cells. And again, if you can't get to the website right now, get there later. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. And on that pick, on that article, myocardial repair and regeneration, bone marrow or cardiac stem cells, look at the title of that. Again, the title of that article, myocardial repair and regeneration, bone marrow or cardiac stem cells. Why are we talking and entitling the article that? Because in the heart, just as in all the organs, when you have injury, there are two places that the body naturally depends on. There are two natural mechanisms. Mechanism one is the deployment of stem cells from the bone marrow. Mechanism two is in your heart are stem cells already. Every organ has a certain number of stem cells waiting to activate to regenerate the tissue normally or when the tissue's injured. That's why they titled it. More importantly, on the next page, if you go to picture two, page two, upper left-hand corner, you're going to see parentheses that I've put in. And if you're driving, just listen. Both extracardiac, meaning cells from the bone marrow, and intracardiac progenitor cells are mobilized and home to the site. So in that parenthesis paragraph, this article, which of course, these articles you don't mess with. These guys are either doctorates or medical doctors doing research at top universities throughout the world. This is the kind of stuff you can trust. This is the kind of stuff when you're told there's no science behind some of the claims that are made today. This is where if you go into the literature, you find that the literature abounds with science. That so often natural medicine is told there is no science behind your claim. Read this. Both extracardiac, meaning cells from the bone marrow, and intracardiac progenitor cells. Those are stem cells in the heart and stem cells that are going to the damaged heart from the bone marrow, are mobilized and home to the site of the myocardial injury to participate in the compensatory healing response. Now, right there is an illumination. Right there. And you can find sentences like this everywhere when you study the literature. So we do, in fact, have active mechanisms in the natural, normal repair mechanism, the one unadulterated by some scientist or a hospital, by some doctor with a needle, or by some surgeon, by some injection. Stem cells from the bone marrow, stem cells that are in the organ itself. Now, there is also growing evidence that such cells participate in the maturation and induction of collateral vascular growth and neovascularogenesis, and may acquire phenotypic properties of neighboring cardiac myocytes. What that's telling you is that there is a repair mechanism, not just to create new heart cells, but to create new blood vessels into the tissue. It's suggesting that the whole kit and caboodle of organ regeneration piggyback off mechanisms that are already working. And that's what this article says. Now, this is what I love. However, these natural self-renewing processes, while sufficient to sustain normal homeostasis, are insufficient to salvage heart muscle following massive injury. Now stop there. What it's saying is, yes, the body heals through stem cells, both in the organ and deployed from the marrow to the organ. But when you have tremendous injury, the body's mechanisms are insufficient. My question to you is, whose body is insufficient? The guy eating McDonald's three times a day? The guy that's never cleansed? The guy that's never stretched? The guy that lives in toxic, dried, barren environments? Whose body? Against which, then, you have to consider those articles on bone marrow qigong. You have to consider that when you read, however, these natural self-renewing processes, while sufficient to sustain normal homeostasis, are insufficient to salvage heart muscle following massive injury, the question becomes, who are you talking about? And you have to understand that these scientists use as a population people in modern Western techno times who know nothing, do nothing, are capable of nothing in their ignorance and innocence of health practices. And you can rest your bottom dollar on the fact that if you do nothing and know nothing, then you will fall far short of what it takes to repair your cell. Just a different way of saying, you can't draw a conclusion the way they're drawing the conclusion. The way they should draw the conclusion is going into the health practices of the Vedics, of the Taoists, the health practices of people who have practiced health. And what happens when they do that is they find exceptions to the rule. And usually those exceptions are just brushed under the rug as anecdotal. Okay, let's take a look at one more article. Let's go on reversing fibrosis. The article I put there on reversing fibrosis. There's an all-important page there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Go to page 5 of the article on reversing fibrosis. If you're driving, just listen. These are peer-reviewed articles from scientific journals, well-respected. And go to page 5. I put it in parentheses. Monocytic phagocytes during the resolution of fibrosis. Macrophage populations limit or even reverse tissue fibrosis by digesting extracellular matrix deposits. Now, what I want you to do on your own time is read more into there, because what that article is about, the entire article, is basically saying that when you have massive injury to an organ, that the scar tissue that develops can be dissolved by macrophages, immune system cells that are already working to dissolve it. The question is, can you enhance that process? And the answer is, that is what cleansing is all about. And so you can see, read these articles on your own, The process through which the body breaks down scar tissue after injury and the process through which the body deploys stem cells to regenerate tissue is already working. To facilitate these processes is the whole essence of what we call natural medicine. And when you look at critical mass points in that health journey, they really begin to show return when you get into the levels that these guys that write these books talk about. Mantak Chia, Zhuan Ming, picture number 12, the Swamis of India. If you study medicine in every culture, what we call the shaman, the medicine man, what we call the master of health, has turned their body into soft, pliable sponge. And with that soft pliability, they pull in the currents of the earth to enhance the rate at which the body already knows how to heal. Maybe I'll do a part two next week. If you've listened to today's show and it sparked your interest and you have a health concern, the phone number to call is 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. That's my office. Give it a ring. Make the appointment. Speak to my staff about the particulars. Come down and let me help put you on the right track. Maybe part two of this next week. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.